Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
You're here to hear some football news from yesteryear, and we've got it. A couple items from the Jets in history, the Houston Texans are awarded a franchise, and some big names in the legends of the game are going to be discussed in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. Once again, this is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com, and this is the only podcast presented by PigskinDispatch.com of your football history headlines from the date of October 6th in football history. We're going to go and discuss the first couple items from the New York Jets franchise, so hold tight. We'll go to the city of New York right now. October 6th, 1983, the New York Jets franchise announces to the media that they would be leaving the confines of Shea Stadium to play future home games at the Meadowlands, sharing the stadium with their NFC counterparts, the New York Football Giants. We go a decade later, 1996 on October 6th. Nick Lowry of the Jets ties a legendary kicker, Jan Stenerud, with 373 career NFL field goals. Lowry booted two field goals and an extra point in a loss to the Oakland Raiders, 34-13. Then we go to the next century, 2012 on October 6th. The University of South Carolina upsets the fifth-ranked University of Georgia, 35-7. Let's digress and backtrack a little bit on the history football timeline as we go into a little bit more detail on one of the headlines. And this happened on October 6th, 1999. The NFL awards the Houston Texans a franchise spot as the 32nd team in the league. Businessman Bob McNair and his Houston contingent went on a wild ride filled with patience, persistence, and a little bit of luck. McNair, along with others in his group, in June of 1997, tried to obtain an NHL franchise for Houston, but that failed. A couple weeks later, the Texas City learned of what their beloved NFL team, the Oilers, would be leaving for Tennessee. This started Bob McNair and his partners to change gears and petition for a new NFL franchise. In 1998, Cleveland was awarded the 31st franchise by the league offices in New York, and everyone knew that the NFL decided to have an even number of teams for scheduling balance, so there would be a 32nd team awarded. McNair and his group pushed hard to get the franchise rights, but found a disappointing result when the league approved Los Angeles as the 32nd team. All hope was not lost, though, as the LA award had a contingency clause that stated a suitable ownership group and a suitable stadium had to be reached by the deadline of September 15th, 1998. This deadline was not met, and in the spring of 1999, the NFL owners voted that McNair and Houston were the next city up. And then that day that we remember, October 6, 1999, the NFL officially announced the Texans as their newest expansion team. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
Now let's jump back in time and reflect on the birthdays of Hall of Fame and legendary players throughout history of football. And we'll go to October 6, 1902, George Fan, the former legendary quarterback from Cornell University. How many college quarterbacks in college history can claim that they were never been beaten and never had been tied? According to the National Football Foundation's website, not many, but George Fan did achieve this feat. Fan, along with the big red backfield made of Hall of Famer Eddie Caw, helped Cornell dispatch every opposing team they faced in 1921 through the 1923 seasons. The Cornell teams of this period outscored opponents by a whopping margin of 1,051 to 81 points. The box score of these games showed finals such as 110-0, 55-0, and 59-0, and even more lopsided contests than that. During the 1923 season, George scored 15 touchdowns in just 8 games. After graduation from Cornell, Pham became a Rhodes Scholar after completing his studies at Oxford University in England, and then returned to the States to coach a bit at Cornell and Swarthmore College. He later served as a U.S. attorney in New York State, and during World War II was on the staff of General George S. Patton as a lieutenant colonel. The National Football Foundation enshrined him into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1957. Our next October 6th Hall of Fame birthday, well, that took place in the year 1925, and that was Bob Fenimore, who played halfback for the Oklahoma State University football team during the seasons of 1943 through 1946. He was known as the original Blonde Bomber. Slide over Terry Bradshaw. Due to his triple threat abilities on display, the website footballfoundation.org informs us that Homer Cook of National Collegiate Athletic Bureau labeled Fenimore as the greatest one-man offense in college football history. In 1943, as a freshman, Bob led his Oklahoma A&M team, which later turned into Oklahoma State, in passing, rushing, and scoring. The next season in 1944, Fenimore led the nation in total offense, accounting for a stellar average of 195 yards of total offense per game. The trend continued in 1945 season as Bob was on top of the nation in both rushing and total offense and was recognized with All-American honors in both 1944 and 1945 for his performance. Unfortunately, his senior year only saw him take the field in 5 games due to injury, but when he was finally done, he had set records for the college game in career total offense. The National Football Foundation voted Bob into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1972. We skip to the next decade, in October 6, 1930, and that's when Les Richter was born. He was a linebacker from the University of California that eventually played in the NFL for the LA Rams. It was a crazy path for Richter to get to the Rams. He actually was picked in 1952's draft by the New York Yanks franchise, but a couple days after the draft, the Yanks franchise folded. ProFootballHallOfFame.com explains that Les's NFL rights were then transferred to a new expansion team, the Dallas Texans. The Rams ended up trading 11 players to the Texans to get the rights of Richter a short time later. The Rams waited patiently for a couple seasons for Les to complete a military obligation, and then the coveted player gave the franchise 9 exciting seasons where he made 8 straight Pro Bowls and was voted as an All-Pro on 6 of them. Besides playing linebacker, Richter also spent some time as a kicker and playing center for the Rams when needed. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Les Richter to be a part of their 2011 enshrinement class. Next, we'll go to a big one. October 6, 1955, Tony Dungy played football as a Minnesota Golden Gopher. He was a good athlete, so much so that he made it onto the roster of the 1977 and 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers during their dynasty run as a defensive back, and then played a third season as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. His play was not where his NFL greatness shined, though, but after his playing career was over, he took the lessons he learned from great coaches like Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, and Dennis Green to move into a defensive coordinator position with his alma mater, University of Minnesota. In 1981, he returned to the Steelers, where he worked his way up and eventually to be the defensive coordinator. He then moved on to be an assistant with Kansas City before taking over the defense of the Minnesota Vikings. In 1996, Tony received his big break as he became the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach. Dungy spent 6 years at that role, taking the Bucks into the playoff in four of them, and in 2002 he was relieved of his duties with the organization. After only 8 days of being unemployed, the Indianapolis Colts came calling it and hired Tony as their head man, and what great timing that was for all involved. Dungy and the Colts in 2006 defeated New England in the AFC Championship game 38-34 and then snatched victory in Super Bowl 41 over the Chicago Bears to become the first African-American head coach to lead an NFL team to the title. He was voted as the NFL's Coach of the Year in the year 2005 and made the All-Decade team as a coach for the 2000s. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Tony Dungy in the year 2016. We'll move ahead one decade and go to October 6, 1963. That was the birth of Napoleon McCallum, the former running back of the Navy midshipman. Napoleon was dynamite in his running style as he led the nation in all-purpose yards in both 1983 and 1985 per the National Football Foundation. McCallum was a two-time consensus All-American and made the fans of Navy proud. The prolific runner was enshrined into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002. Due to his naval commitments, he put his professional career on hold for a bit, but he eventually did play for the NFL's Raiders for 5 seasons. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sternemann collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you'll enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!